This is a fourth in our series of Simply Biblical Church Leadership. We're looking at how in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, how almost a tragedy that could have occurred spurred the apostles to seek God's face and to find a solution. And that solution was leadership, more leadership to handle the situation of the Hellenists' widows being bypassed in the distribution or care of whatever it was with ministry to care for those widows, whereas the Hebrew natives, that is the Israeli natives, they were getting taken care of, but somehow those Hellenists, that is the Greek-speaking, probably mostly out-of-towners that came to Christ during Pentecost, now they've stayed there, and now this is probably a few years later, this system and distribution for the widows was something was wrong with it, at least the system. Now I'm going to talk about systems today. Now a lot of us know a lot about digestive systems, right? Think about the solar system. And so we're going to look at God's system of leadership. We're going to look at the galactic systems. We're going to look at, no, we're not going to look at galactic systems, right? We're going to look at what God has done in the past. So we've looked at the last 3 weeks. We've looked at how God used the Israelis in the Old Testament, their situations where Moses could not bear it alone. So in Numbers 11, we saw that God brought 70 elders, get 70 elders. He anointed them with the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, we see the pattern in the New Testament that the spiritual office of eldership, it relates to the spiritual things of life within the body of Christ. So the elders worked with Moses, but eventually Moses would go away and you'd be left with the 70 elders. So the eldership was kind of the rulership in a sense, but more of the spiritual overseeing of the spiritual life that was the intent. That's why God took of his Spirit and gave to them. So it starts with the Holy Spirit here. So you have the elders, and then in Exodus 18, we have what we would call deacons in the New Testament, where you have leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. So we look through all of those two aspects, plus Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, which related to the elders equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. When we look at overall, we look at God's system of care and the equipping process. That's what we're looking at. God has set up in the New Testament, and we have the foundations in the Old Testament of this system. Also, we have leaders who shepherd and protect God's flock. So on the back of your sheet there, you'll see Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. It'll be on page 3. So I'll read it. It says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock that the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers or elders to shepherd." That's why I call them pastoral elders. Pastoral meaning shepherding. Elders, overseers of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and men will rise up from your own number with deviant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years I did not stop warning each one of you with tears. So they're like a mama bear with cubs that protect their cubs with all that there is. Now, what is the focus? Doctrine. Notice that. So to make sure that they preach and teach the Word of God accurately, they are to guard the flock, to shepherd the flock, and make sure that everyone is cared for. But that doesn't mean that every elder cares for every individual person. That's why there's a system. God has developed a system, and we're going to look at that. So the leadership model we just looked at was drawn from the Old Testament. The New Testament leadership model is drawn from the Old Testament. So when we look at God's system of care and equipping process, we look at the Jethro principle, which is Exodus 18. In Exodus 18, Jethro came to Moses and said, look, you're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear the people out. Therefore, look to God, make sure God approves of this, but get yourself some people who have these certain qualities. So on the very back of your scripture sheet, you will see in verse 21, it says, but you should select from all the people able men, God-fearing, trustworthy, and hating bribes. Well, that about covers it, doesn't it? Hating bribes, that means even your family can influence you. Give me an exemption. You know, we're family. Do you see how that is? No, you have to stand with the Word of God alone, regardless if it's even your wife or your children. That's kind of what he's saying here. Trustworthy, are they faithful? God-fearing, see, that's the core. Do they fear God? If they fear God, they don't fear anyone else. Able men, that is, they're able to do what it is. And so we see, he says, make them commanders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And so what we see here is an amazing structure of leadership that is able to handle everything. So it's based on five. You see, if he just said thousands, hundreds, and tens, then you would think, well, it's based on 10. It is a factor of 10. But he threw in 50. And there's a reason why. Because it's a factor of 5. Factor of 5 is what the basis of the fabric of care is within the body of Christ or in anything. Like how many fingers you have. I've intimated about that, hinted at that, you know, in the last few weeks. Factor of 5. You can get a grip on things. You ever hear that? Did you grasp what I was talking about? Why do we use those analogies? Why do we use those terms? Because we have fingers and hands. Think how much brain space is used in our brain for working with our arms and hands. Researchers say it's quite a bit of real estate up in the brain. Be able to Why is that? Because to do things, we do stuff with our feet, but we don't grasp things like gorillas. This week I saw this awesome meme of this gorilla with his arms crossed and his legs crossed, and it looked like he had hands on the end of his feet. Well, they do. They can grasp things with their feet, you know. We don't have that. So the hand is the perfect illustration of being God's hands and feet, but really it's God's hands. We are to do. When you think of to doing, it's with your hands. Now, we're human beings, not human doings, but we are called to do. And that's what he's talking about here. Why is that? Well, you can about grasp close relationships. Close relations, about 5 people. Really close, your inner core. Jesus had 3. Although he had 12 people as his core, his inner core was 3, Peter, James, and John. And that James was killed in about chapter 12 of Acts. So that's a different James that we see later on, you know, half-brother of Jesus. So really, the guys who lived out were James, was Peter and John. Isn't that amazing? So he poured more time and effort into a few people. And so it is with us. That's why the factor of 5 is there. We have a relationship with people. When we have relationships with people, there's certain levels. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. What can you handle? What kind of relationships and deepness? We are not called to be deep, close friendships, have deep, close friendships with every single person on the planet. We have a scope of limitation. And so we can talk about this as what they call the span of care. This is kind of developed, and it's a way to encapsulate these concepts. Just like it was with the triunity or trinity of God, the word trinity is not found in the Bible, but the concept is, very much so. And in the same way, this can encapsulate a lot of the love one another's, caring for one another, all that, but it also encapsulates the limit of scope, loving people, but loving within limits, caring for people. And so it says this, each disciple of Jesus Christ needs to receive care and love within his or her local church family. And each disciple of Jesus Christ needs to care for others within his or her local church family. Although each disciple needs to care for others, he or she should not care for too many. And that's what happens. A lot of folks who have almost the gift of caring or helps, mercy, etc., they sometimes can overdo it and burn out. And so we're going to see with the scriptures that are referenced here, even Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Basically he's saying, don't burn out. Look to me, and I will bear your burdens, and let me work with you. Let me lead you. And that's what he's saying here. There's this, and you'll hear it from me a lot, no burnout allowed. Now, that doesn't mean laziness is allowed either. You know, there's the other side. Oh, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to pray and let Jesus do stuff. And I'll just be here. I'll just sit in the back seat, Lord, you know, that kind of thing. And all those analogies. That's not what he's saying here. We do need to serve. We do need to care. We do need to love each other. But there's a limit. And that's basically what this system means. Thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Factor of five means, you know, there's folks I need to take care of beyond my family. It might be five families or might be five people, that kind of thing. Does that make sense? This factor of five is something where no burnout is allowed. Jesus does not want us to burn out. Jesus wants us to be in love with him, rely upon him, and serve him obediently, but not in a burnout situation. Because then you start getting to the point of pride. Then you start, well, the Lord needs me. No, the Lord doesn't need any of us. He wants us. And it's good for us to serve. And that's what this is about. Isn't that amazing? So this system, you have to talk about the system concept that he put together. And now we're going to talk about the leadership that relates to this. So within what we call life groups, that's what they had in the early church. They met from house to house. They met publicly and from house to house. The house to house kind of ministry is what we would call life groups. So the servant leaders leading other servants within the context of life groups or deacons. Deacons don't necessarily have to teach. They facilitate. So the elders teach, and then within those groups, they discuss and try to work out and how to apply that which I've just learned. What have I've learned now? Let's help each other out. Apply these principles. Find out what's going on in each other's lives and build up and encourage each other. The environment there is for each individual Christian, but it's also an environment for leadership development. So we start with the individual Christian who's saved, born again. Then each Christian needs godly fellowship within the body of Christ. We see that all over Scripture. You never think of a Christian by himself or herself. She or he is a part of a local church family. It's family and tribal. It's not a business model. It's family or tribal. It's relational. And the other thing is, you're not there just to soak it up. We are here to love one another, encourage one another, pray for each other, serve each other out of the gifts, talents, and abilities the Spirit gives to us in the context of relationships. And then through that, that's a launch point from which to launch out into the world because I have a base from which to launch from. So let's look at this picture here of the individual. Okay, so person gets saved. Now, usually a person gets saved in the context of maybe someone else leading them to Christ or whatever, but they're not supposed to be left alone like this dot here. See, the other people are all connected within the body of Christ. I love it when I can see it. So it helps me see and grasp and get a hold of this, right? So a lot of folks today go to church with the idea of what's it in for me? What can I get out of it? Okay. And there's a twofer here You get yes, that's part of it, but I get out of it so that I can serve others, so that I can build each other up, so that I can reach the lost for Christ together with my church family, etc. So here we have a disconnected individual who is truly born again, but he or she needs to be connected. And so within New Life Fellowship, or really the New Testament church, the Simply Biblical Church, you have relationships. That is probably the person who led them to Christ, more than likely. And that's usually how it was, or the context of whatever gathering it was, they got saved. But then they need to be a part of some group, a stable group that they can be a part of and grow in relationships. And so here we have life groups and worship celebrations. So life groups, they met publicly and from house to house in the early church. And that continued on. It didn't do the what folks call the communism thing, where they just sold everything and whatever for years and years. That kind of left after Acts 8. That was something going on because you had those out-of-towners that came in that one event in Pentecost, and they never left. And then more and more people are coming to Christ, and it's like, man, we got to like help these people, because where are we going to get them jobs? Usually they have their farm back home, and now they're here. So that was kind of a temporary thing, and again, it wasn't communism. It was helping each other out. But in this case, what we find, that which continued on from Acts chapter 2 all the way through the end of Acts, is they met publicly and from house to house continuously. That kind of cycle. And so we see for us, it'd be like life groups and worship celebrations. So we need to plug people in and help them find a place where they fit within the body of Christ in relationships. So now I'm going to start showing you an encapsulation of how leaders of hundreds or thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens fits in the scheme. Those are great concepts, but how does it look? What does it look like? Okay. So let's think of a home group or a life group. The leadership, the husband and wife team, typically that would be the norm, husband and wife team, they are leading a group of 8 to 12 people, let's say. So that is tens. That's your tens. That's the folks. And so the leaders of that are leaders of tens. See, 10 would be like 10 to 20, 10 to 99, you know, something. That's what tens mean, that group. So you'd have a small group, and they're leaders of tens. So that's the first level. Isn't that amazing? There it is. There's your picture. You see, now you're bringing from concept to reality. A life group is the tens. That's the base. But every leader needs to be cared for. You see, they may not get their kind of fellowship only from that group. They're going to need a special kind of group to be a part of that they can get together with, that they are being cared for and nurtured. So that's what the leaders of 50 are. The leader of 50 is now caring for these leaders that are home group leaders. So this leader here, leader of 50s, or leader life group coach, factor of 5. There's 10 leaders of 10, right? But there's 5 of them. So you have 5 leaders of 10. That's 50 people. But you see, that leader of 50 is not leading directly of those people in those home groups. He may affect them by his example and leadership, but he's pouring his life, he and his wife probably, are pouring their lives into those life group leaders, but they just, up to 5. See, you get beyond that, that dude's going to be working too much. Okay? So now you're starting to see a fabric here of care. Everybody's being cared for from the base of a life group. So every one of those leaders has a life group that they're leading, you know, but I'm only highlighting just one group and showing you how it fits. Okay. So remember, leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. So now we have leaders of fifties over the leaders of ten. Now the over, notice how I have it flipped. It's not a rulership like lording over. It's supporting. It's under. They're supporting, encouraging, inspiring, lifting up, building up. And that's exactly how it is. So you have a new Christian that comes into a life group. So it's from the newest as you get older and mature and step up for leadership. You see, this guy, the leader of 50, has led one of those groups or a group like that. So his leadership ability has grown up not in a vacuum, but he's tested and approved. And that's what we see in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Tested and approved. So where did he start, he and his wife? In a home group, in a life group. Started to have leadership ability. And then the leader said, well, you know, I'm going to apprentice you. I'm going to have you step up. If their leadership is approved, then as they multiply, the group multiplies, then they would lead another group. And then they would want to start helping someone else grow up and be a leader. And we don't talk about division. We talk about multiplication. Adding, multiplying, it's more positive. People don't like to hear about church division and dividing, you know. So we talk about multiplication, see? So as they multiply, it raises up leaders. God's system of leadership is relational, based upon the Word of God. You see, look at this. I want everything, and of course every church leader does, everything within their local church family that you can go and point out in Scripture and verse how what we're doing and believing is straight from Scripture. Now, a lot of people can't do that. There are a lot of traditions and things that they do, can't find it in Scripture. But this you can. This is explicit, and it's kind of fleshed out in the New Testament. It's an amazing system. So we see this leadership grows out of that. So that's why the life group is so important. That's why they met from house to house, because that's where real ministry occurred, and leadership development occurs right there. In the larger group meeting, it's more of the coaches speaking to the team, the big team. And you see that over and over again. It's the inspiring, the equipping overall. But here is where the chunks are. And every one of those life groups is going to have its own personality. And because of the mix of the people. But it's still going to be Bible-based. But it's going to be on the same page with the rest of the church. See? That's why sermon-based, going over the sermon within the life group makes so much sense, because you're all on the same page. All right, so let's move on. What about that leader of 50? Who's taking care of him and her, you know? Well, here you go. Leader of hundreds. The leader of hundreds then meets with his five guys. See, this is his cell group that he meets together, his life group. So that leader of 50 needs support and care. So he's going to meet with the leader of hundreds here. And that group together is like a life group for them. It's for them. Not that they're giving. See, if you're leading something, sometimes you need input. You need to where you can let down your hair. You're not leading. You're there and you're receiving and you're growing. And that's exactly what we see here. Those leaders of 50s are being taken care of within the context of the leader of 100s. Now, when you think about the leader of 100s, each one of these leader of 50s represents 50 people, a little bit more than that. That's 250 people right there. So leadership is raised up as the people grow, and that's the representation that the early founders of the United States used and looked at this system for the representation in the House of Representatives. So many people, you'd have so many representatives to care over. Isn't that amazing? Where'd they get it from? The fabric of care from Exodus 18. So this leader, what about him though? Well, think about this. This leader, although he's probably already been a leader of 50s. He's worked his way up. Has he worked his way up? He's just developed. He's developed more care for people, developed more maturity, and now has a broader view of overseeing. But this would still be deacons, you see? Still be the Exodus 18 folks. So this leader now, he needs care because he also can burn out. So God developed that. Leader of thousands. So the leader of thousands cares for all of these guys. Now, each one of these guys represents, at the minimum, 250 people. 250 times 5, work it out. You're already in the thousands. So that's why he's called a leader of thousands. So as the church grows, as the life groups multiply, that's why it's so important, then you have a handle on care as you manage that. It's not just managing. It's managing and expanding and growing and inspiring and equipping. Do you see? So these guys, now can you see how businesses, the business world has stolen from God? Why? Because it's such a beautiful, awesome system. Now you just can't put this together. Say, we're just going to put all these people here. No, it grows, and as it grows, the leadership grows up, and you have to have someone who is looking at this all and said, you know, I need to meet with those leaders of thousands, and that's where the elders come in. The elder team, the pastoral elder team, is drawn from the leaders of thousands or hundreds or whatever it was as it was growing, because they have that overseeing care view of people and wanting to care and equip and preach and teach. So they're going to oversee all of this, but the elder team, there's no way the elder team can be have close relationships with every one of those people. But they certainly can oversee in a pastoral shepherding way the system of leadership or pastoral extension care. And that's exactly what we see. We see that vision that Jethro had in a New Testament concept or New Testament context fleshed out. So as the church grows from one group to five groups, and then you have a leader, that would probably be the elder team at that point. The elder team just keeps pushing down. Do you see how that works? And so all these guys are elders in training as God leads them, as they want. There might be some folks who like to just be a leader of hundreds. There might be somebody who wants to be a leader of 50s. There might be some folks that just want to be a life group leader and stay there. That's fine. But as they grow and they want to grow in Christ, and if they want to step up, hey, we really need you to start being a coach. Would you want to do that? Pray about it. We get these five groups, and we really need you to step up. And they pray about it, and they do. And then as they go and tested and approved, they might be added. They might be needed to be added. You see what I'm saying? But once you get to this point, you should have daughtered a few churches by now. You should have spored off a few churches. Some of these groups and sections here of the leaders of 50s or leaders of 100s can be a daughter church. You see, that's why he only went to thousands, not millions. Because there's no way. You can't. There's a point at which there's a scope that goes beyond and it starts breaking. And then you will have burnout. So the church should never get to the point where, you know, it's like that. And that's why you see in the New Testament about Acts 8, God breaks it up and starts sending them home. And we're going to see that in Acts 8. And God uses persecution to get them out of their comfort zone, really, and to get them back. And then they went to the Middle East. They went to all those countries that are listed in Acts 2 and planted churches like crazy. It was missionary work, and they didn't even know it. They're just going home. And some of them went out and real missionary work, like Paul and Barnabas, etc. So what we see is this right here is a great model, but it's also a church multiplication model. There's a limit. Thousands. And that, you know, once you get to about that, that you should have daughtered a few churches, missionally sent out some missionary teams, because otherwise then you're building your kingdom. And you're only here to build Jesus' kingdom. So to know and understand this system helps us in New Life Fellowship to understand the vision God has. So as we focus on ministry, as we do what we're supposed to be doing, we'll see that every single person is cared for. We want to make sure everybody's cared for, but we also, that part of that caring is equipping and helping every disciple understand that they need to step up. They need to love and care for other people. Now, doesn't that fit everything that Jesus taught? Doesn't that fit everything that we've been reading about? I mean, right here, you have a visual explanation of this Exodus chapter 18 Jethro principle, the span of care and God's leadership system. And what's amazing here is God's leadership system is just like your digestive system, of course, if it's healthy. The solar system, of course, if it's healthy. Galactic systems, any kind of system, living systems, your cells, when they're working and healthy, they aren't a system just for the system. They're the system to promote life. And so God's system here of leadership care is for life, promoting the life of the body of Christ and multiplying it worldwide. Isn't that great? God is awesome. And I just wanted to share that with you as our final week, looking at God's amazing, simply biblical leadership. It looks complicated, but it isn't. Factor of five. It just grows, and you grow leadership as you grow. And if you only have so many people, you only have that part of the diagram. And then as it grows, as God allows it to grow, see? Isn't that amazing? So now we're looking forward to God growing us. Amen? Now we know what to do. We've seen the picture. We've seen God's vision for the body of Christ. This is not a business model. This is relational. This is tribal model. Amen? So let's worship God. Let's praise Him that He can do the impossible. Our God who is the impossible God.